B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill Belichick will speak momentarily in Foxborough. It is the week of the AFC Championship game, so a little bit more is mandated by the league in weeks like this.
Yep.
Apparently, this is the first year the league has allowed the coaches and players to speak at different times. Tom Brady won't speak until later this afternoon, I think around 3 or 4 o'clock today. He's going to talk later, but typically you'd get it all compacted together. It's going to be more of a normal schedule for the Patriots today. Bill going early, Brady later. So we'll hear from Bill Belichick any minute now in Foxborough. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you've got a good look at the double doors that he will appear through at any minute. And when he does, we will have it. Love that. The anticipation. Of it all.
Reese's been here since 9:30.
Yeah, he had like a...
Well, at least that's not too bad. I mean, Bill's speaking at 11 right today. It's only 90 minutes before.
Get that front seat.
Reese is fired up. He had his little like plastic bags of food and... Yeah. Pretty good to go.
Yeah, tweeted back at him. Eat like a man.
The other good part of today is that
like
there is
garlic clove in there. It's weird.
It's not garlic clove. That's a cheese thing. It's a cheese.
Is it like a little bag of cheese?
That's that soft cheese you can make. Okay. Yeah. He's eating
it. It looked like a garlic clove to me.
It looked like a garlic. That's what I thought it was, too. It's one of those puffy cheese puffs.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a soft cheese.
I know what you're talking
about. You get it on a cheese board.
It
looks like a garlic clove.
Charcuterie.
You really want that heated so you can just...
I
don't know what the hell they're talking about. What are you talking about?
Oh, it's
Mike Reese
had cheese.
He tweeted out his food, like he had little sandwich baggies,
It looked like at the end of Hannibal when Lecter's on the airplane and he won't eat the airplane food, so he's got the gourmet travel meal.
Yeah, with the little boy.
Yeah.
What do you got there? I'd like a bite. I don't think you'd like this, but.
Oh, I see it now. Okay, like so he's got Clif Bar. He's got what looks to be, are those pretzels? Little pretzels there?
Doesn't that look like a garlic clove?
No, it looks like one of those meringue puffs. It doesn't look like
now a... Now you think it's a meringue tart, like a dessert.
I think
it's cheese.
No, it's not. I don't think it's cheese at all.
Pretzels, Clif Bar, two oranges.
They're called like meringue something, like puffs, right? They're like dry and crunchy.
It's either an orange or a clementine.
Oh, those are clementines. Those look small.
What the hell is that?
I think that's what it's called.
I mean, he's got the little hands. He's got to do clementines. He can't do an orange. Like you get... Okay,
to the podium we go. Here's Bill Belichick.
Okay. Well, it's always an honor to play in this game, to compete in this for the AFC Championship, and really proud of what our staff and team have done to get to this point. Obviously, it's a very strenuous competition, and so to be here and to be one of the final four teams playing this weekend is a great privilege, and we embrace it, and I'm willing to jump in here with our best competitive effort, week of preparation, and be ready to go against a great football team. Andy, who I have tremendous respect and admiration for, has, as usual, done a great job with his football team. It's a well-balanced team. They've pretty much led from wire to wire in the AFC. Had a great year, great record, outstanding team. Do a lot of things well, obviously. And so that'll be a big challenge for us, and we're looking forward to the opportunity to compete. And we'll see you on Sunday night.
I encourage you to raise your hand if you have a question, please.
Bill, the forecast for Sunday is temperatures in the single digits, wind chill below zero. How does that impact preparations for the game and perhaps
playing out the game? Yeah, we're getting ready for the Chiefs, whatever it is it is.
Do you mind playing in severe cold?
Love to play in a championship game. Schedule whatever you want. We'll be there.
Does it change the play calling? Does it make it harder to throw?
I don't know. It's Wednesday. We'll see what happens Sunday night. Right now, we're getting ready for the Chiefs.
Coach, obviously, you're facing a quarterback with a great skill set. However, in his first full season in the NFL, do you think that Patrick Mahomes' relative inexperience can play into your hands?
I think he's a great player on a great team that's very well coached. They have a great scheme and a great system. He's got a ton of weapons, so it'll be tough to handle, as will their entire offense, as will their entire team. So we'll need our best game. We'll need our best effort, and that's what we're preparing to give.
Patrick Mahomes' ability to extend plays is obviously notable. What would be the key for your defense in those situations to how to react to that?
Yeah, well, it would depend on the play and what the situation was and so forth. He's... he has great ability to throw, and he can keep plays alive, but that can come in a lot of different situations. So whatever they are, we'll try to follow our rules like we always do and defend it the best we can.
Coach, is there any difference at all preparing for a team that you already faced in the regular season compared to a team that maybe you haven't seen recently?
Look, we're going to do the best we can to get ready for this game. Last week we did the best we could to get ready for the Chargers. That's the way it is every week. So we'll take whatever our resources are, whatever the opportunities are, and do the best we can to be as well prepared and ready to go as we'll need to be in Kansas City. Doesn't really matter what else something else could be. It's what this is.
Coach, compared to that game in October, the location and the weather will be vastly different. Are the teams also very different from what they were then?
Yeah, absolutely. The game was quite a while ago. We've gone through a lot, had a lot of experiences, learned a lot. I think we're better than we were. I'm sure they're better than they were. See what happened Sunday night.
Bill, the Chiefs were 3-for-4 on fourth down last week. I think they were 12-for-15 for the year. How does their ability to not only go for it but succeed so frequently on fourth down maybe change the way you guys will approach the game, or does it at all?
Yeah, they're pretty good on every down in every situation. So first, second, third, fourth down, they're good at all of it. So we're going to have to be at our best in all situations.
Bill, speaking of differences between the teams, the Chiefs have different players at safety. Houston is back compared to that Week 6 meeting when they didn't have Barry and Murray in Houston in the starting lineup. Last week, 0-for-9 on third down were the Colts' best third down offense during the regular season. What are the differences that you see in Kansas City's defense, particularly in that situation, from when you first faced them?
They're pretty much of a game plan defense, so it shifts a little bit from week to week. It depends on who they're playing and what they're trying to do. So we'll see what they give us. I don't know. We'll have to be ready for the variety of things that they do. And obviously they have three outstanding players on the front that are hard to deal with. So we'll have to handle everybody, but certainly those three guys.
Bill, one of those guys up front for the Chiefs, Chris Jones, has had a really good year. Josh McDaniels was talking about him the other day. Seems like one of the things he's able to do relatively consistently is bat down passes. Is that something that you guys have to try to call plays around, or is that more on Tom to kind of realize where he is and have a feel for what might work when he's in front there trying to get his hands up?
All right. Well, we deal with that every week. It's always, that's always an issue. There are guys in front of the quarterback when he throws the ball. So that's a combination of a lot of things, what the route is. The protection that goes with the route and the location of the defenders and the quarterback releases the ball. So I'd say they're all different on every single play. There are variables there, but we try to do the best we can to keep the pocket clean in front of the quarterback. Quarterback's got to do the best he can to work around whatever the obstacles are, if there are any. And the receivers have to position themselves in locations that are where we're able to get the ball to them cleanly. So we need good team execution on that. But he's definitely a problem. I mean, he's a problem as a rusher, and he's a disruptive player in terms of batting down balls or affecting the throwing lanes, even if the ball's not batted down for the quarterback. And the receiver have to make adjustments, and that's a degree of disruption, if you will.
Bill, is containing Patrick Mahomes just as important as getting pressure on him, and how do you balance that in this game?
Yeah, again, we're going to have to stop the whole offense. It's not one guy. The quarterback's good. The backs are good. Tight ends are good. Receivers are good. Line's good. Coach is good. I mean, they're all good. So we're going to have to play good team defense, and that includes everything. So they're all important.
Bill, when you're going against a team that has multiple elite options in the passing game like Hill and Kelsey, can you describe the challenge of just figuring out how you want to prioritize basically your defense and how to take them away?
Yeah, well, that's what every team's dealt with all year with them. So that's what it comes down to, figuring that out, trying to balance it between rush and coverage and how you want to cover and there's plenty of other good players out there, too. You just have to decide how you want to handle it. Conley, Watkins, you don't want to be light on those guys either. So they have a great offense. They have a great set of players. And again, Andy does a great job of putting them in with the defense in compromising positions where you have to make choices, and the quarterback makes choices based on that. They're hard to stop. That's why they lead the league in points, lead the league in yards, lead the league in scoring, lead the league in everything. They're really good.
Bill, in your experience and opinion, you know, just having coached against Andy for so many years, how much of his willingness to implement and assimilate ideas that might not come from, you know, himself, whether they college or any other source, it doesn't matter to him. He'll just do what is best for his offense, and that's helped him evolve over the years.
He's done a great job of that. Probably as good as any coach that I've seen. Does a great job of taking new ideas, new concepts, and utilizing them in a productive and efficient way. Depending on what he's working with and what how they fit into what he's doing or his personnel, or depending on exactly what we're talking about here. But I'd say he's very creative. He's got a lot of new ideas, or takes on new ideas, new concepts, and develops them within the framework of his system to just create more problems for the defense. He does a great job of that. See it every year. And he continues to, even over the course of the year, from when we played him in October, has come up with more things to create more of a problem. So he's always tough to go against. He does a great job of game planning, and he does an excellent job of developing an offensive system that's it's very hard to defend. And they have great players doing it. So,
Bill, how big of a challenge is this defensive line for your offensive line? And when you have a team that has multiple guys who can rush the passer, how important is communication in a matchup like this?
Well, it's important because the Chiefs do a good job of moving people around in their front. They have different alignments and different looks, different personnel combinations, and some game plan pressure, so they could run a blitz that they haven't run before that wouldn't be unusual for them, or run coverage that they maybe haven't run in a month or 2 months. There's an element to the game planning from them that's unique to this game. We don't know. I don't know if they know yet. Maybe they're just putting it together now. I don't know. But might be something they've done. Might be something that's a little bit new. So communication and making sure that we have everything accounted for is going to be important. But if they just line up and play straight, that's a problem too, because they have a very, very disruptive front, very athletic front. If those guys catch an edge on you, or get a step into the gap, they can blow the whole play up. So both do a good job on all those guys.
Bill, they have a corner who hasn't really played a whole lot this year until late in the season, in Ward, who I think started the last two games of regular season and then the playoff game.
Right.
What have you seen from him in the time that he's played, and what's allowed him to kind of catch on here and establish a role?
But he's really been their third corner in nickel, and Fuller moves inside. But they're in that a lot, nickel and dime, they're in sub defenses. They're in those a lot, so he plays a lot. He's long, he's fast. They traded for him from Dallas. He didn't really play much until later in the year, and then got an opportunity to play well. He's gets his hands on the receivers. He's broken up a number of passes on. He's probably got, I don't know, four or five pass breakups in a couple games here, two, three games. So he's been a disruptive guy out there for him that's stepped in and done a good job for him.
All right, that's Bill Belichick. He is powered by Oakers Company, New England's premier technology and audiovisual solution provider for over 97 years. Visit OCKERS.com. That's Oakers Technology for tomorrow.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shot from snap to Tom. He loses the football. Kansas City with a shot at the recovery. Brady drops back. Under rush from the blind side. Ball is stripped by Tama Ali. That's his specialty. And he recovers at the 9. Strip sack Kansas City.
Hey, Brady's got no chance.
Brady has time in the pocket. Throws to the far side. And that ball is intercepted. Edelman cut off the route. And the ball is picked off.
Start the pluses.
And what's been awful just got a whole lot worse here in Kansas City.
Brady just trying to make a play. Man, he is so frustrated at this point.
Brady guns it down the middle. Picked off. Gula has a pick six. Touchdown, Kansas City.
This is bad.
Listen, when you're weak, when you're the weakest kid, and you go into a bully's house, you get the snot beat out of you. We saw a weak team, the New England Patriots. Let's face it, they're not good anymore.
You mentioned Tom's age at the draft.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Do you think having a 37-year-old?
We're on to Cincinnati.
Do you feel like the talent you have here is good?
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
Well, I mean, I'm just asking, do you think you've done enough to help Tom Brady?
We're getting ready for Cincinnati. That's what we're doing.
Bill Belichick was asked about that loss today, saying, quote, "I don't think that game has anything to do with this one. We're going to get ready for Sunday." It's Bill Belichick today.
That one stuck with me for a long time.
What's that?
That press conference?
That press conference stuck with me for a long time.
Did you pay some sort of price for that?
Well, hey, you know, I may have paid a price for it. They may have turned it into a marketing vehicle over the course of that year.
At least you weren't Giardi.
Might have been a few things.
I was going to say, you seen any checks from that?
Some moving pieces. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting how they didn't like the press conference going down that way, and then a couple months later, it was a marketing slogan.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, funny how that works.
Coming up on
February 7th at Royale Boston, Patrice Bergeron and Tutcher and Rich present Pucks and Paddles, the second annual ping pong tournament, benefiting the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player. Tutcher and Rich, John Wallach, myself, Scott Zolak, and more. VIP tickets, $200. That gives you access to all the autograph sessions with the team. General admission tickets, $50 for all this information. And to get your tickets, go to our website, 985thesportshub.com. That's 985thesportshub.com.
Coach, it's been a few years, but obviously your last visit to Kansas City was not a good memory. Is that something you think you and Tom can use as motivation?
Yeah, I don't think that game has anything to do with this one. We're going to get ready for Sunday.
And that's
it. Is that Jonathan Hall again?
It may have been.
They've played twice since then, too, right?
Yeah, they played in the playoffs since then.
This year.
They played, you know, in the regular season since then.
2014 game.
Yeah, Chiefs have scored 40 points in all those games.
Yeah. Combined. Wait, I mean, each one.
Each one they've scored 40 points.
Each one 40 points.
Yeah. All right. The opener, they scored 40 in the loss this year.
They scored 40
in the opener.
They averaged 37. They averaged 37 points in their losses. Because you don't forget, they lost. They scored 50-something when they lost to the Rams on that Thursday night shootout. They averaged 37 points in their losses. So don't be hanging everything on Mahomes, people. People, I hear that too. Oh, well, Mahomes wasn't great in the losses. He put 37 on the board.
Mahomes is pretty good.
Mahomes is
pretty good.
Is that right, Bert?
Yeah.
No, the playoff game, going back to 2015, the Chiefs had what? 20 points in that
20
game.
Points. There
that
you
was
go.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
about their 40 losses that year, regular year. Season. Yeah,
regular season losses this year. Well, Chiefs loves.
Yeah, that was the game with like the 11
but
minute.
But if you're
Smith
going
drive.
Since 2014, that still comes out to 37.
How can we go back to the year? I think the only game you can really talk about is the one this year. Your whole team's different in 14.
Oh. I'm sorry.
What relevancy of a 14 question is there?
You're talking about all their losses.
Yeah, the Chiefs this year.
I was confused.
Like, it's not like everybody says.
So that's the last time they played in that stadium, though. There's some relevance to that, no?
No, I think there is. Yeah, it's like Denver. Same as Denver. Yeah. We're not good in Denver.
You can't completely dismiss the question about that 2014 game because that's the last time they played in that stadium.
Well, he's asked specifically about the 14.
Do you know what I think is more important? The fact that they've sucked on the road this year.
Yeah. That's more important. I agree with that.
Hey,
I
think you guys stink on the road. What makes it? Why should we think you're not going to stink again?
I think it's relevant, too, because I think in that place, a game like you saw it against the Colts, a game can get away from you really, really quickly.
It's a hold. You get beat because you can't hear.
Right.
Somebody comes around the edge. You end up grabbing him.
Well,
now all of a sudden, a big play's called back in your third.
So if you want to look at last weekend, like you could say like that Ebron drop, right? On the third down, first Colts series of the game, that was it. Like, it was over after that.
Because they've
gone right down the field, and then they go three and out. They should have gotten that. They should have moved the chains there. They don't. They punt. The Chiefs go down the field again, and it's over. And so, like, that's sort of what you're dealing with.
So, I think that there's a lot of questions to get to about this, and the questions that were asked today were pretty much shot down all the way around. That was an all-timer press conference we just heard.
Right there. Plefman.
Well, we talked about it while he was going, though. I mean, this is like the Wednesday of championship week is that one of these events that the league turns into. Like, they turn the press conference into an event. It's a dog and pony show for the league. And God knows that Bill likes nothing more than to take a big steaming dump on anything the league tries to do.
It's quite strong.
But I give him credit for wearing his Patriots gear, though.
It's no dip. What do you mean?
He's got New England Patriots right across his sweatshirt. And sometimes
sometimes he won't.
League wants to market something, or you don't. I think we read way too much in. I think he just grabs whatever in his locker and puts it on.
No, see, it's Brady that doesn't want to wear anything team related.
Bingo.
When was the last time you saw Tom Brady wear Patriots anything?
Brady's gone so much to the point where.
Doesn't he wear a skull cap, doesn't he? Or not even that anymore.
You know what's crazy is. Preseason when they're camp and he takes the red jersey and turns it inside out because he doesn't want to show the Gillette logo,
right?
Or is that Nike?
He doesn't want to show the Nike logo. Nike. Yeah, he doesn't want to show Nike.
So Tom Brady has only played at Arrowhead three times in his career. He's 1-2 there.
That's it.
Yeah,
three times.
That's what Pro Football Reference tells me.
He didn't play there a lot.
He's played there.
They must have played there the Castle year then that because that's usually.
He played there in 2004, 2005, and then in 2014.
Were either of those playoffs?
No.
The regular first two? No, they're both regular season. Right.
Both regular season. First two were in the month of November, and then the one was in September in 2014. So his last win at Kansas City was in 2004.
Right. And his last road playoff win was 2006, right?
Yes.
Was the Charger game.
Yes.
Right.
Hasn't won on the road. Hasn't had to win.
Hasn't played in the playoffs.
I mean, well, that's not true because they've had losses on the road. Denver
twice, right? Was that it, though, of this run?
Of the last decade since that?
Because in 11, they lost in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
12, they lost.
Here.
Right. 13, they lost in Denver.
15, they lost in Denver.
Right. And then the other losses were in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
The Castle year, by the way, was the Brady getting hurt opening game here. Castle came in. So the Castle year, they Castle played the did Chiefs. Play against them, but that the was Chiefs. The opening game.
But we were then talking about playoffs
on
the road.
Yeah, it's just weird because normally, like, even if you're, like, because it rotates normally where, like, if you're, like, when you play a division, it's, like, two home, two away, you know? Like, so they don't, normally, like, the rotation would make it if you play 20 years.
Brady in 2005, completion percentage there, 55%. Threw one touchdown and four picks. Threw four picks in that game in 05.
Mm-hmm.
Bad game. Lost. 26-16. Final score. And then he obviously had the game in Kansas City in 2014.
Which was an abject disaster.
Was just a complete mess, and he got benched.
Yep.
He was 14-23 in that game.
That might have been the earliest I can remember Bill pulling him out of a game. It was like 11 minutes left, right? Like, it felt more like a benching than anything we've seen.
That's about as close as we've ever gotten to that. Yes.
Right. I mean, it was just, I mean, look, in my defense and everybody around here's defense, like, it felt like they played horrible the 3 weeks before. Like, they hadn't put together a good performance. Then they went in that Monday night and got blown out of the building.
Bert, do you think the Patriots may have a problem playing on grass? Do you know their grass stats?
I do not know their grass
stats. All right,
stats.
Jim Lout has brought the grass stats to our attention. And I think that I'm drawing conclusions. I'm speculating about what Jim is saying with these grass stats that he has presented. He says he's just presenting the raw data. Yeah. I don't believe him. I think he's got an agenda. He's got an agenda here in presenting the grass stats. He thinks the grass matters. He thinks the Patriots maybe are not so good on grass, and they've become a turf team.
What do you get Carlito to look it up? See our boy Carlito?
We'll get to that coming up.
They're
at Kyle
Van Grass. All I see is his hair over the computer.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If I did, you see this place where stories all ring true. Will you let me pass your face to see what's really you? It's not for me to ask this question as though I were a king. Boy, you have to love, believe, and feel before the burst of tambourines take you there. Green grass and high clouds forever. Castles of stone, so
you ever heard this one? I've never heard this one, so this one's new to me.
Is this one of those fan Mahomes songs?
The Outlaws.
7:47 this morning. 7:47 a.m. Jim Louth. Something I haven't heard brought up yet, but I just looked. The Pats are 1-4 on grass this year. Win at Chicago.
Did that keep you up last night?
Losses at
Jacksonville. I was listening to Belichick's conference call from yesterday on the ride up.
This is Christmas.
Somebody asked him about the difference playing on turf and playing on grass, and I started thinking, like...
Did he answer?
Yeah, he said, we're playing the Chiefs.
We're not playing the grass. Yeah. We're playing the Chiefs. All right, so... I think you got to turn on your headphones.
No?
Is it you? No. You hearing that? No? Okay.
I hear a hum.
I do. I hear that a little low, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 1-4 on grass, win at Chicago, losses at Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Miami. So, what did I say?
Fair tuning fork.
Oh, in Pittsburgh. I miss Pittsburgh. To which I say, okay. And if Gillette Stadium still had grass, they'd be a total of 9-4 this year on grass.
How do you know they'd be 8-0 if it was grass?
I don't. I'm assuming that... Even if it were grass here in Foxborough, they'd be okay with the grass. That it was not the grass.
So okay? Wait, so they'd be one and up. No, that
correlation.
Them...
The old saying goes, Bert: correlation does not equal causation.
So they're 1-4 on grass on the road and 2-1 on turf on the road.
But they don't have grass at home, so the statistic is. But we're sort of about how do you play on the road?
But they're better on the road when it's turf. Yeah. Versus it being grass.
Barely.
2-1 versus 1-4. That's not barely.
We're talking sample
but the Buffalo and the Jets are the two wins, so it is barely.
Yeah, it's Buffalo and the Jets. And then I would say, oh, they played on turf at Detroit, and they got their ass kicked. So what did the turf do for them in that game?
It's a good stat, Jim.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
Not a good stat.
It's just Darryl Patterson had a nice return on grass.
It's interesting.
They're 1-4 on grass.
Hey.
And they're 11-1 on turf. Right.
That grass got Gronk when he was trying to track down Kenyon Drake.
Well, let me give you something about grass that I think I could buy in on a little bit. I think there might be something to read into. Because Jim was caught up on the grass thing today. And then so at 8:22 came another message. Back to the grass thing, he says. Which right then and there, I'm like, Jim.
It's hard to check stats on your phone while you're driving in traffic.
No, I give you all the credit in the world.
You break and then you go to the next page and you go back.
I love when Jim has agendas like this. He's got a grass agenda today. He said Gostkowski missed his only extra point of the year on grass. Mm. Also missed 3 field goals on grass in 5 games.
That could be real.
Like, that to me is real. Okay. I don't think that your offensive line, your defensive line, your quarterbacks, your skilled guys, like can't play because you're on grass.
There's no consistency.
But when you're talking about kickers who need every condition completely perfect and everything needs to be just right for them to mentally be in the right place, for the ball to come off the foot the same way, all of this stuff. I mean, footing is obviously more important to a kicker than anybody
else. Look at Miami when they had to replace that crater. They stopped the game.
Sure.
There's no craters or there's no divots on artificial surface. You mean the hash is always going to be the hash.
I mean, certain kickers need the elements to be right. Gostkowski might be one of those guys. He's had some bad misses in big spots.
All one of those guys.
He finally broke his playoff miss streak on Sunday by not missing any kicks. So that was a positive.
So much of it.
Like Adam Vinatieri, that guy could go kick it on the moon. Right? It doesn't matter. So, this guy and every other kicker, you say, okay, maybe that's going to be a factor.
And so much of it, so much of what the Chiefs are built on is speed with Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Chris Connolly. This is where it might be a factor, too. They didn't look slower playing in messy conditions last week on grass, right? So the fact that it didn't affect them, that's a factor, too, right? Because you would think a team that's based on speed would be slowed down on what's probably going to be like that game. Natural grass in that environment, it's gonna be like a parking lot.
Now, we say that, but I talk about Vinatieri saying he'd go kick on the moon for it.
He missed two there last week.
So this is something we got to worry about now.
What?
What?
So's doing something else.
What are you doing?
He's not paying attention.
I was just looking at
Dana. So's looking at Dana Holgerson over there.
Some games.
I don't know how you landed on Dana Holgerson.
I just had it sent to me. Sorry.
Go Cougs.
All right. How about Sony Michel?
He's got a Red Bull there.
You want the grass stats for Sony Michel?
Let's go.
Zoe brought up Sony Michel out of the gate this morning. Yep. He's they got a running game now. They're a better team. They're better built for these situations.
I mean, you dove deep, Jim.
This is actually Tom.
This is Tom.
Tom did the research on this one. Sony Michel on grass. 58 carries, 203 yards. That's 3.5 yards a carry, 0 touchdowns.
Wow.
On turf, 151 carries, 728 yards. That's 4.8 yards a rush and 6 touchdowns. 6 touchdowns on turf, none on the grass. It is yards per carry on turf, 4.8, 3.5 on grass.
At 9 touchdowns if you count the playoffs. They didn't play on grass last week. No, they play on turf, yeah.
They play on turf. Yeah. You could say he has 9 touchdowns on turf. If you include the playoffs, he doesn't have a single one on the grass.
We're ginning up some fear here?
No, I'm just giving you the stats. I'm just giving you the raw data.
Just the numbers.
That's all it is, just the numbers. Just the numbers. I don't think the grass is that big of a deal. But it's worth asking Kyle Van Noy about. He's going to join us.
I think the cold is. I think the Chargers were affected by the cold. And it wasn't even that cold. This is a different level.
Their warm up was terrible.
We
mentioned it quickly in our pregame hit. We did a little scene setter about half hour before the game. Mm-hmm. We looked down and said, "I'm gonna put a lot of stock in this because that's a good football team. They earned the right to be here."
We said we hate to read. We hate to read body
language.
They look
like they came to play.
But there were two linemen that came out early.
Zero.
There were two linemen that came out early, and they were doing the whole tough guy thing, right, with the t-shirt and the shorts.
And the kickers had sweatpants over their pads, and
I turned around. I turned around 15 minutes later, these two big linemen again in t-shirts and shorts. Like the look on their face was like, "God, I wish I hadn't done this."
Yeah. And I told him,
"Well, this is stupid."
I walked past the locker room, and there was like 3 DBs going in. They already went out, worked out. They came back, and I'm like, "Damn, I don't care how you say that's cold out there." They got back in the locker room. I'm like, "Oh, all right."
I mean, if the
my favorite guy now, this doesn't matter. This isn't a big impact on the game. My favorite was the punter, Donnie Jones, who refused to take part in the stretching that was going on because he was too cold.
I'm not gonna get down.
He sat there watching. He wouldn't do it.
I didn't see that. That's awesome.
He's like, no. And then they're doing where they do the 20-yard stretch walks where he just sat there completely upright. Like I'm not doing this.
No, it's too cold to do anything.
He's got his hand in the hand warmer. He's like, nope, not doing it. Yeah. Too damn cold out here. But again. You know what though? Do you think that if it were warm, that was going to go that much better for them based on the way the game went?
Probably not.
When you get down, when you're down 3 touchdowns, then you forget it. You're done. Yeah, you're done.
You didn't change anything on defense. You didn't change the way you were going to pass protect Phillip Rivers. You didn't help aid him. You didn't keep a tight end in.
Yeah.
See, if New England's getting their ass kicked, eventually they'll keep the tight end in.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bert Breer. Zolak and Bertrand with Bert Breer. I was going to say, Zolak and Bert Breer. Thanks. Yeah, that's the show.
Sorry.
I'll leave if you need me to.
Van Noy doesn't know who he is anyway.
Kyle Van Noy is joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Kyle Van Noy brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Kyle Van Noy with us now. Hi, Kyle.
What's going on? It's the KVN show back at it again.
It's good.
Let's get it.
Hey, do you remember Rocky when Mickey was training Rocky and he made him chase the chickens out in the side yard? Is that kind of like what they're going to do with you guys this week at practice where you got to chase this guy, chase that guy, you know, all your responsibilities? How do you get ready for all their speed?
Well, why can't we say they got to chase us?
I like that. See? That's right.
Well,
yeah,
why,
but Rocky,
why,
didn't, wait, Rocky well, didn't say that to Mick.
But you play defense.
Yeah.
You're sort of chasing them.
Well, what if they throw the pick?
Maybe
like,
what if we're the aggressors and they got to switch what they're doing because of what we're doing.
Like that. Blitz. Right. You're going to blitz a lot this week. That's good. More cover zero.
Wait, who knows? We never know. First, I want to start this show off with, you know, Mr. Scott Zolak with his little tweet at Max Kellerman.
You like that, didn't you? Got us a
yeah,
never. He can't throw it in the windows. Can't throw it in the windows. Did he come after me?
No. He didn't. I'm just saying you went after him. I like it.
Good.
I respect that. I just wanted to commend you for that.
Thank you.
So there's an awareness of what Max Kellerman's been saying then in the
Patriots
locker room.
Beating a dead drum that it hasn't worked.
Well, maybe since everybody says we need to stick to football, he needs to stick to his boxing, whatever he does. You know what I mean? His commentating. So,
yeah. Well, he's at the cliff.
It is what it is. Yep. So we just we enjoy being the underdog. I mean, we hear people, guys are old, the linebackers are slow, you know, but at the end of the day, we believe the guys in our room that we have, we just want to play as one unit, offense, defense, and special teams. We know what we're capable of, and we just want to play as a team.
So do you guys suck?
You did your homework, huh? honestly, you know, that's just the joke, just because we've been hearing it all year that, you know, hashtag we suck. So it's kind of just fun, just playing around with people because we know what we're capable of, and we just want to play. And like guys have been saying all week in the media, you know, give us a ball, give us some lines, some field goal posts, and let's play.
Well, if you need any more of that, Vegas thinks you have the worst chance to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Vegas thinks you're going to lose this weekend.
ESPN, that's a fourth.
Yeah, the picks are going against you this week, for real. For real this time.
Okay.
I know Brady said last week, everybody thinks we suck. Well, now, if he thought everyone thought the Patriots sucked last week, wait till this week. Everybody really thinks the Patriots suck.
Yeah, you know, I like that. I like when people tell us we can't do anything or win anything. We just keep proving people wrong, and you know, we're excited for this challenge. It's hard to go into Arrowhead Stadium and come out with a W, but you know, we're gonna do our very best, and I'm excited for this challenge. I'm excited to play Patrick Mahomes again. I'm excited to play under the lights with all the pressure. I'm excited to play with the guys again, another week to play with the group of men we got. You know, we have a good group of men here, and keep counting us out.
Does that really make a difference? Like, I know coaches love to push those buttons and show you guys maybe some things that people are saying about you on the outside. Like, I would think just from the outside looking in, like, you maybe shouldn't have to get motivated to play in the AFC title game, but I know coaches constantly push those buttons. Does it work?
I mean, at the end of the day, like you just said, you don't need motivation to play in the AFC Championship. We know how big of a blessing it is to get here, but we earn the right to get here. And I think that's what people forget. We battled our asses off all year to get to this point. So what better way to just go and grab what's ours?
Do you have any concerns about playing on grass? And what's the difference when you're playing on grass versus playing at home on turf?
I don't think there's anything in that nature. At the end of the day, it's football. You know, line it up and let's go. You know,
you guys practice on grass like all week.
Yeah, we do. So we're not really worried about the weather, the conditions of the field. We're just ready to play ball. We're hungry.
How many times have you played in Arrowhead, Kyle?
Me personally,
yeah.
This will be my first one, and I'm excited.
Nice.
That's a different animal, man.
Yeah.
What do they say? What are they telling you about it?
I feel like it's playing. I'm just going to take it as playing anywhere else. Obviously, it's for a championship, but my mentality is to prepare for everything and anything, and that's what I'm going to do.
Well, don't be the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Jerry Jones says they lost because they didn't have the right type of shoes.
Yeah, bring the right type of shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what he said?
Yeah. They couldn't get their foot in it.
Let me not touch that one.
have they done anything? Have the coaches done anything different with you guys to prepare you for the speed of Kansas City? I remember a few years ago when Mike Wallace was on the Steelers, they actually lined him up they lined the scout team receivers up 2 yards off sides to sort of simulate how quickly they get on top of you. Have they done anything have the coach done anything like that? Or have you seen anything like that, them do things like that in the past to get you guys ready for that sort of thing?
Yeah, they put Tom Brady at receiver and let him fly down the sideline for the ball. I mean, I'm messing. Really, I think we have guys that can. I think we have guys that can do a good job of them, and they'll be. It'll take all 11 of us as a defense, and it's going to be good. I'm excited to play this game. I don't think we need to, really do much. I think we're confident with the guys with what we got.
All right, Kyle Van Noy, appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, fellas. Y'all have a good rest of the day.
I'll see you out there, Kyle. Thanks, bud.
All right.
Wow, he came out hot.
Kyle Van Noy, Patriots linebacker.
I like how he refers to it as the show now. I mean, it's his show.
This is KVN, the KVN show.
Yeah.
KVN on Max Kellerman. Maybe since people say we need to stick to football, he should stick to his boxing commentating. I'm going to go ahead and tweet that one out.
Okay, Bert, you do that. That's what he's got. They're paying attention. The antennas are up, so.
Man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.